Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 124, part 1, Joy is Our Duty. Today is Friday, December 4th, 2009. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission, as you know, is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota. Why do I say that? No boundaries. Even though we're located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra-Kodesh Synagogue, located at 1000 Oliver Avenue North in Minneapolis. And if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you're a senior 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, call us, write this down, 612-521-4665. Call between 1 and 3 p.m., Monday through Friday, and register your household for monthly groceries. Don't be shy. We have lots of food and a lot to give away. So call us again, 612-521-4665, Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. Register your household for monthly groceries. And by the way, Pastor Paul is the person you will be seeing who will be giving you lots and lots of food to take home. So be sure to come down. And if you don't need groceries, we can always use your help. Call us up. Go online. You can visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations, or you can volunteer your time. So give us a call. You can also join our online community. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to the blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. You can leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or write a testimony at the blog. You can also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. When you go to the blog, you're going to find interactive links that I leave to scriptures within Pastor Paul's message, so you can follow up when you're finished listening to the message. You don't want to try to scramble through your Bible while you're listening to his message. You may miss something, and he speaks fast. Can I say this? Pastor Paul's messages are the best. And if you are one of those who are listening and you're getting a lot out of his messages, you need to tell other people about his messages. That's how I came to find out about Pastor Paul's mission, about Pastor Paul's work and everything in North Minneapolis, by hearing Pastor Paul on the radio. And you'll hear him refer to the radio audience quite a bit, because his messages are recorded some 20-some years ago, the ones we're hearing today. But when you listen, and I'd like to hear some comments about this on the blog, make a comment about this. Is it true that Pastor Paul's messages are just timeless? When you're listening to his messages, you're not thinking that it's 25 years ago. So be sure to write a testimony at Pastor Paul's blog, and you're going to find all that information in the show notes. The month of December, let me run through four messages. Joy is Our Duty, My Garden, His Garden. Actually, that one we've already heard. I'm taking these in order, though. So you'll be able to go to online, go to the audio page, and you'll be able to stream that or download it yourself as just a message, My Garden, His Garden. So we're going to skip that. So let's start over. We're going to go with Joy is Our Duty. The second one is To Know and not to know the tender grape. And so you think you've got a problem. I like that one. Okay, so those are the messages for the month of December. Lots of stuff happening in December with the holidays. Be sure to tune in to the podcast. You're going to get a lot out of it and be blessed. Thank you for joining me. God bless you. Have a great holiday season. And what is the secret of the holidays? The joy of the Lord is your strength. God bless you.
And today's message is entitled, Joy is Our Duty. Think about that. Joy is our duty. Now, people are seeking joy all over. They go to Vegas, and they pull the one-armed bandits, and they can't even go to the restroom. They got one-armed bandits in there. One-armed bandits in the... They're getting robbed, you know? And they go there seeking joy, and they seek joy in the Bahamas. And they seek it diligently wherever that they may go. But outside of Jesus Christ, there is no joy. Now, that's a simple message, I know. But being that it's so simple, why don't we receive it? Why don't we have the full joy of the Lord? You know why? Because only the magnification of Jesus Christ will bring you joy. His joy is your life. The joy of the Lord is your strength. It means the joy of the Lord is your life. So, who are you magnifying today? You see me look over there. I'm talking to the radio or tape. And to you, who are you magnifying? Now, if you're magnifying yourself, you can only magnify yourself so far, and you start to get real miserable because nobody sees you like you do. Totally wonderful. Say amen. Totally with it. Totally spiritual. Totally wonderful. They don't see it that way. But who are you magnifying? It shows, you know. Magnification of Jesus Christ. Are you hearing this? Magnification of Jesus Christ is the only thing that will give you joy. A merry heart, it says in the Bible, worketh like a medicine. And Philippians 4 and 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. If you didn't hear me the first time Paul said him, I'll tell you again. Again I say, rejoice. Maybe somebody was sleeping in the audience. Maybe somebody was out there busy picking their ear or feeling bad about something that happened the other day or had some kind of an argument. And he said, he looked out there and he discerned rightly and he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. And he points to somebody. But oh, there is a wonderful medicine in the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. Rejoicing in the Lord. Now, most medicines, I think, are very distasteful. But the best of all medicines and the sweetest of all medicines is the sweet taste and the comforting to the heart is the rejoicing in the Lord. Now, Marty came down yesterday and he made this wonderful cabinet out of all scraps. And I looked at that thing and I got my message. Because when I first saw it, I got joy. My heart leaped within me. Oh, I get excited about things like that. Mostly about the person that does it. And so I went by it several times during the evening, and I had to rejoice. I had to do it over again. Then I happened to mention that I needed a wall put up, but I didn't have a carpenter, and Corey wandered in, and he said, well, that's what I did. I was a journeyman carpenter, but I'd wounded myself in carpentry, and so and I'm doing what I am now, but I still can carpenter. So in about 2 hours, he slaps a wall up for me. Well, needless to say, every time I went by that joy, I had to rejoice. And I'll go on rejoicing every time I see that. See, there are so many things that we can rejoice about, and we can throw it up again, and we can rejoice about it. Now, I look around here, and this was a shambles when we took it over, and I rejoice every time I come into this sanctuary. I rejoice about the seats and the carpet and the people and the windows and everything, because I remember it and I rehash it. I have a rejoice. Everybody's looking for something new to happen all the time. And all they got to do is pull down inside and get a rejoice. Not a reject, but a rejoice. Hallelujah. A rejoice. Say that word. Rejoice. Now, I'm sure you can find something to be happy about. Just think back in your life. God was merciful to you and you're still alive. Well, rejoice on that one. Say amen, somebody. So learn how to rejoice. And in Philippians 4, you will notice that two sisters here had a falling out. You know what? It doesn't say what the argument is about. And I'm glad. And you know why? I think explaining our arguments is boring. Well, you know why I argued with so-and-so? Well, you just don't know the way that they treated me. Oh, they just treated me awful. And that's why. And then you try to explain it. And then you get into whose fault it was. And I think that's time-wasting. And you know what? It'll lead to another argument. No, I didn't say that. Yes, you did. You said that first. I said that second. You said that first. You said that second. And on and on and on and on and on and on. And so I'm glad that he doesn't tell us here, but that he points to the audience and he points to these Philippians and he tells them, rejoice. Find something to be happy about. Rejoice in the Lord. And that rejoicing in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, will bring you great joy no matter what happens. See, you got to rejoice in God. You can't rejoice in yourself and by yourself. You got to rejoice in joy. Now, Jesus is all joy. Jesus is all peace. And Jesus is all power. If you want any of those things, you got to get into it. Say amen. But Paul doesn't waste time. He simply states you have a duty, and that duty is to rejoice in the Lord all. Now, you got a duty. You all have a duty. And you listening on the radio, and you listening to the tape, have a duty. And your duty is to rejoice in the Lord always. Now, that's a commandment. Well, you just have to crack your faces. Say amen, somebody. Lay a crack on them. Come on, crack them. Oh, I'll never be sad in Jesus. Oh, come on. I'll always be happy in the Lord. No, that's why you have this commandment. Because you don't want to rejoice in the Lord always. No, you don't. Just when it's a sunny day and everything is going good. And so God commands us to rejoice. Now, I found this in my ministry, and I think all preachers will agree with me. People who are very happy, you ever met a very happy person? Aren't they sickening? To some people, a very happy person is a threat to them, especially those who are happy in the Lord. You know what? They won't give an offense, and they won't take an offense. Because they're so happy. It's like someone being in love. Well, you could walk up and kick a lover's in the seat of the pants and say, hi. And they keep right on sauntering down the lane. Why? They have a higher love affair. They have something going on that's above all the turmoil of the world. And they have a great joy. But let me tell you something. When you have the full joy of the Lord, glory to God, that is your strength and that is your power. And something will happen in your life. And God commands you, he says, now just shut your face up and start to rejoice. I command you to rejoice. Your affection should be above. But you have affections down here? They won't last. You have affectionate children that love you? Well, maybe they'll just go wayward for a while. It won't last. Oh, this is my joy. This is my little pet Freddy boy. Oh, he's so cute, the little toe-headed youngster. And he's out behind the garage doing something he shouldn't be doing. Say amen, somebody. Come on, you parents know what I'm talking about. You got to have something up above. Hallelujah. Your affection has to be hooked on to something above the family or the wife or the husband or the church or the pastor, and it's got to be Jesus. And if it isn't Jesus, you'll find no joy. You won't find it in Vegas, and you won't find it with friends, and you won't find it with past friends, and you won't find it by going back into the world. You'll only find it in the Lord. And that's the word for today. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I can't rejoice. Oh, God, I'm so miserable with my present mate. I can't rejoice. I can't. Oh, it's a commandment. You rejoice in the Lord. You rejoice in the Lord. Oh, don't say that. I am happy with my life. Oh, no, you are not. You're not happy until you rejoice in the Lord. Say that. Rejoice in the Lord. Now, I know that's hard for people to say. Ooh, no, just say it. Say it. Rejoice in the Lord. You're commanded to. And if you won't do it, and if you're going to sit down and you won't do it, you don't want to know what's going to happen? You'll be miserable. Most miserable. If you're going to rejoice in your job, you're going to be miserable. Oh, I'm so happy about my job. Now, that's all right. But you'd be happy about the God that gave you the job. Thank you, Lord. I rejoice in you that you gave me the job. See, there is no joy outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't look for it in your mate. Oh, don't do it. It isn't there. Say amen, somebody. Have we found that to be true? It is not there. Now, if the Lord puts a joy in your mate and puts a joy in you, hallelujah, you can rejoice. Well, didn't you have joy when you first got married? Say amen. Start thinking back to that time and have a rejoice. Have a rerun. Oh, you mean go on a second honeymoon and try to relive it exactly the way it was? No. Remember the way it was and then go on. Don't stop. Don't lay down the plow. Hey, having a marriage is plowing all the time. Plowing each other in the face? No, I mean plowing. Well, maybe you don't like my phraseology, but it's to the point and it gets the job done, so don't worry about it. Say amen, somebody. Oh, it's not quite spiritual enough for me. The words and the tone and the language he uses. Hey, I can use big words too, but I'm not going to. Say amen, somebody. You wouldn't understand him anyway? I wouldn't know what I was talking about? And this way it cuts corners. It gets right down to the point. Say, right down to the bone. Woo. See, our affection is above arguments. If you really love somebody, your affection is above the argument. Are you hearing this? Woo-hoo. Your affection is above the argument. And here's the person arguing. And then this happened, and if it ever happens again, let me tell you, Charlie boy, it will be the last time it happens, and you're going out that door, Charlie boy, and you're not getting back in again. Or Sally girl, if it ever happens again, I'm going to throw you out by your skinny little limbs out the door. And you just stand there and you say, well, my affection is above all that. Because my rejoicing is in God. Do you think that's possible? It is. Say amen, somebody. You just try it. Try it. Double dare, double dare. But their minds are so sweetly occupied with higher things, that they are not easily distracted by little troubles. Now, a lot of times we get caught up in little troubles. Little troubles sometimes are little children. And all through the day this happens and that happens and the soup spills over and this goes wrong and you bang the fender in the garage and you know the old man's going to be mad and he's at work and he's mad at the boss. Your affection's got to be above those little troubles. above them. Did you hear what I said? You've got to live in a new atmosphere above the little troubles. Don't get distracted. We're so easily distracted, aren't we? Even when we're listening to a message, aren't we easily distracted? A fly flies off that way. Oh, 15 heads go that way. Aren't we easily distracted, I'm talking about, over little trouble? And they so often come to us, don't they? Oh, yes, they do. And we so often get into them. And then we have fits over nothing. How many have had a fit over nothing this week? I mean a fit. I mean tight jaws. Huh? I mean bug eyes. I mean eye twitch. Do you ever get yourself in such a fit that your eye starts twitching? Huh? And you try to make it stop twitching, and you hold it this way, and you try to think about it, you try to positive think it out, and they both start twitching? Ah, say amen, somebody. What is the cause? Lack of joy. Lack of strength. Your body is breaking down. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And you can have that joy by walking by a cabinet or by walking by a wall that somebody put up for you. By remembering someone that fixed your flat tire. I mean, there are so many things to give thanks to God for. To look at your children and they're all doing quite well. Isn't that something to rejoice in the Lord about? And why, after all, are we so sad? Lack of joy. And so we got to try to find joy somewhere. I'm faint. I need more joy. And off we go, trying to find more joy. And what do you get? More misery. Your rejoicing, commanded to be so, is rejoicing in the Lord. And the result is fuming and fussing and arguing over details. You ever seen somebody argue over details? Well, I think it should be this way. No, the chair is this way. You move it. No. Don't argue. Have enough affection to let the chair be that way. Then after they leave, move the thing around again. Am I getting through here? But anyway, here's Paul writing this epistle when he was in prison and in irons and fetters, it says, around his wrists. Rejoice always in the Lord, and again I say rejoice. Here he is, all bound up. And these little prisons, I mean, he's a little cramped up in this little prison. Fetters around his chains on his legs. And he yells out from this tomb-like atmosphere, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And he writes them a letter. Glory to God. But in this epistle, was there any iron? No, none whatsoever. It was full of light. It was full of love. It was full of joy. It was full of beautiful things. There was no sorrow in it. Oh yes, I should say it was blended with some sorrow. And yet with a holy delight that rises above his grief. Now last week I had this very experience. And I wanted it to be explained to me why that I had a joy above and in my grief. Because it was a divine thing, and that's why I had it. I didn't feel it was exactly right. I didn't feel it was exactly wrong. I felt grieving over it. I felt confused over it. But I had a joy. And you know what kind of joy I had? I had a peaceful joy. That's a grown-up joy, when you have peace. And you don't have peace when you're into arguments, do you? But you do when you say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say what? Say that word. Woo. But here he is. And he rises above all this because his joy is in the Lord. I thought to myself, but what is joy? But the concord of the soul, meaning the harmony of the soul. The accord of the heart, meaning the agreement of the heart. With the joy of heaven, hallelujah. And so we harmonize and we agree with God. Getting kind of quiet in here. Maybe you're thinking it over. Trying to find something to have joy in? It's only in God. Say amen, somebody. If you will listen to what I'm saying here right now today, you can have the joy of the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. But also notice after he said rejoice in the Lord always, that he commanded the Philippians to be careful for nothing. Because the joy, he's saying, because the joy of the Lord is one of the best preparations for the trials of this life. First, he says, get yourself built up in the strength of God and in the joy of the Lord, and you'll have the strength of the Lord and glory to God. Be careful for nothing, but go on laughing and go on with the tears in your eyes and just go being happy and rejoice in me, and I'll take you through all of it. Worry not what you're to say in that. I'll give you what to say. Say amen, somebody. Worry not. I'll give you what to say in that very hour. And so be careful for nothing, because you have the strength of the Lord. The cure, I believe, for care is the joy of the Lord. What do you mean by care? Oh, we're so wrapped up in cares, aren't we? And worry and fret and fume and fuss, aren't we? Oh, yes, this bill and that bill and this person and that person, and we're so wrapped up in it. And I believe the very cure, hallelujah, is rejoicing in the Lord. It takes care of all your cares. Right in the middle of a care. And I'll tell you, in this end time, I ministered Friday night, and people are going through real heavy things. I don't care what kind of a spiritual thing, a person you think you are or whatever, people are going through things right now. Oh, yes, they are. And the whole of the Church of Jesus Christ is going through horrendous things, and there's a whole lot of separation between sheep and goats, and people are wondering what's happening. And I'll tell you right now, you need the joy of the Lord. And so the only way you're going to get it is to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Say that word. Are you getting a little bit of joy? Huh? Are you happy? Listen, the other day I went into a store, and there was a little gal in there, and she had bumps as big as the end of my thumb all over her whole body. Then people would look, and they'd look away, and then they'd sneak a peek, and they'd look away, you know. And this little gal was doing all of her work, smiling and happy. And I thought to myself, this little girl is rejoicing in the Lord. Have you got something to be happy about? Take a look around. Say amen, somebody. Take a look around. Look at the hobo, and look at the people out in the streets, and look at the people out of jobs, and look at Ethiopia. And don't rejoice because you're above them. Rejoice because you're, because that God gives you that rejoicing. He puts it in you. He says, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Put it on. That's a commandment. Do it. Oh, there's so many people that don't want to do it. Don't want to talk about it. They want to study about it. They want to ice skate about it, but they don't want to do it. Don't want to do it. It's too simple. Let's study about it for 100 years. Rejoice! It's a commandment. Now, I don't know if you don't mind this message. Fire might fall and the whole building collapse upon you. Don't you think it's about time that we obeyed God, especially in these end times when God says to rejoice in Him always? And again, I say rejoice. For your own good, hallelujah. Stop that fussing and fretting and fuming and nervousness, and they all must go when you're full of the Lord's joy. Hallelujah. Jim's got himself a wonderful job now. And all he has to do is think back to when he was patiently, and sometimes not so patiently, like we all are, seeking the Lord for this job. Oh, God, give me a job. God, give me a job. And so even when hard times come on that job, they'll say, thank you, Lord, for this job. Isn't that right, Corey? Thank you, Lord, for the job that I have, and I love that job. Isn't that right? Thank you, Lord. And Randy, isn't that right? Thank you, Lord, for putting me in the position I am in. Isn't that right? Think back. John and Julie, think back. Think back. Rejoice. And you came to me and they wanted to get married. They were 17 years old, and I said, no. Got to wait until you're of age. And things have worked out real well for them. I mean, shouldn't we rejoice? And if you got a husband or a wife that's in the Lord, shouldn't you rejoice? Or do you want something else? Some kind of a frump. How many are hearing this? Say amen, somebody. Start to look around and find the things that God wants you to rejoice about. Hallelujah! Is there anything that fills you more than being satisfied with your God? I mean, anything that's more satisfying? Anything that, like that, should overflow with delight in Him? You will say to yourself like this, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Talk to yourself. Talk to yourself. Talk to yourself. Why are you so down at the mouth? Why are you so crankety and mean? Why do you always have to stay mad? You know what? I think people sometimes like to stay mad so they can go on doing their own thing. Did you hear what I said? Have you ever run into somebody like that and they continue being mad? No, sir, I will not make up. No, de, no, de, no, de, no, de, no. Why? Because they want to continue in their own rut. And they'll have no joy. And listen, if that's happening to you with this particular person, don't you fall into it. Because they'll have helpers all the way down the line helping them to be miserable. And they'll fall into a rut. And they'll keep walking in this rut. And you've got to walk up and you've got to say rejoice. And you listen on the radio right now. You start rejoicing right now and stop that arguing. Somebody got it. Say amen, somebody. Yeah, I was talking to you. Meaner than hell itself. Say amen. Overflowing. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? What do you got to be blue about? Why are you cast down? And why art thou disquieted within me? Why are you in turmoil? Because you're into yourself, you're into lifting up self. If you were rejoicing in the Lord, the peace and power and the victory is there. The strife is gone. The disquietness is gone. And it's all gone. Why? Because you're rejoicing in the Lord. And if not, it's going to stay there. And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. Now close them doors. No running back and forth. See, there's a move of the Holy Ghost here. Say amen, somebody. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. For the help, listen to this, for the help of His sanction. No, for the help of His tolerance, it's saying. Aren't you glad that we serve a tolerant God? How many are glad that you serve a tolerant God? How many are glad that God tolerates us? I see both hands going up. I love that. Kick your feet up too. Praise God. Okay, one again. And why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance, for the help, it's saying, of His tolerance, for the help of His sanction. God sanctions you. Say amen. Aren't you tolerant with your children? You don't kick them out because they tipped a glass of milk over, do you? Get out! You're a bum kid. Don't want you around anymore. You tipped your milk over 3 times this week. Get out! Aren't you tolerant with your children? Sure you are. Say amen, somebody. Now, if somebody comes in that back door, put them right down in the back seat back there. Say amen. And anyway, what is there on earth that is worth fretting over for even 5 minutes? What is there here that is worth fretting over, fuming over, for 5 minutes even? I mean, if there was some kind of a imperial crown given out. Are you hearing this? Oh, come on, look now. Talk after. Listen now. Learn how to listen, and that's how you learn. Say amen, somebody. Don't think I'm harsh. I just want people to hear. My God, why come to a message and not hear it? Are you hearing this? How many want to hear it? Put your gumballs away. Praise God. Don't blow bubbles in my face. I don't want to look at a distorted face through a pink bubble. My God, that's horrible. But let me go on again after them slight interruptions. Praise God, they're there all the time anyway, aren't they? But I mean, you got to come against them, don't you? Why not? I might drop dead tomorrow. Are you hearing this? Girls, are you hearing this? Come on. What is there on earth? What is there on earth that is worth fretting over for even 5 minutes? Now I'm repeating myself. Even if you would gain an imperial crown by a day of care, it'd be too expensive. You know why? Because when you got the crown, you know what'll happen? It would bring you more care with it. Now you got the crown. See, sometimes you get a crown, and that's a job. And if care would bring you that crown, then that crown... Oh, please, now, let's stay seated here. That care and that crown would bring you more caring. And it would destroy your peace. How many are hearing this word today? How many want to hear the rest of this word? I'll tell you, the devil doesn't want people to have joy. How many know that right now? I know it. I know it. You know, it's so easy for us to lose our joy. Someone comes up, someone asks us something, someone challenges us, and we lose our... Okay, now I'm not going to have joy no more. You're not going to rejoice in me now, are you? There are people, when you're ministering, that cannot rejoice in you, and that's good. You know why? They got to learn how to rejoice in God. The message is today to rejoice in the Lord always, not in the preacher. Oh, I hate that man. Oh, my God. Huh? Preachers aren't always liked. Did you know that? You know why? Because they're teachers. They're evangelists. They're moved by the Holy Ghost, and sometimes they're not so likable. Say amen, somebody. Rejoice in the Lord. I'm not up here for a popularity contest. Did you hear me on the radio? I am here to teach people how to have a full joy of the Lord. But who needs this crown? Isn't it all passing? Let it pass. Let this last minute that we had pass. How many hearing this? One time I ministered and a person got offended. And I said, hey, let it pass. What's that mean? That means let it go by. Let your offending, and that's a spirit, offending spirit, let this offensive spirit, this offending spirit, go by. It's all passing. Learn, and the secret to all ministry is to allow things to pass quickly. Allow things to pass. Arguments? Pass. Let it pass. Hearing it? The secret in rejoicing in the Lord is allow things to pass and go towards a higher calling, the effectual calling, and allow it to pass. Ooh, I'm so glad you girls are sitting up here. Praise the Lord. You didn't even throw stones at me. No, they're receivers. God put them up there. Why do you think you're sitting in the front row? Hey, you know, when you're in the service, when you're up front, in the front lines, you get most of the flack. Did you know that? Boom, 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 boom. And there's some guys laying up against trees about 10 miles back. Boy, they're sure shelling them guys out, aren't they? Pass me some of them K-rations, Charlie. Huh? Thank you for being here. You're up front, praise God. But rejoice in the Lord always. Well, is that possible? It is not only possible to do so, it is profitable to do so. And we are commanded to do so. Can you do it right now? Just say that. I am going to rejoice in the Lord. Always. And again, I say always. And I mean it. And it will happen. Because I mean it. And I really mean it. And I feel a joy coming on. And a power coming on. And the Spirit's leaving. And glory to God, I'm free. Say it. I'm battling spirits in here today. Say amen, somebody. But that's what I'm up here for. Say amen. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So first, let us consider the grace commanded. This grace of joy. Rejoice in the Lord, Paul says. And I think in the very first place, this is a very delightful thing. Think about it. What a gracious God that we serve. Okay, now just sit down in the back there if you will, sir. Who makes delight to be a duty. How many are hearing this? What a gracious God we serve who makes delight to be a duty and commands us to rejoice. How many are hearing this? Now you're probably wondering what I'm going to do. Nothing. I'm going to rejoice. Yay! Well, shouldn't we obey such a command? Shouldn't we obey such a command? How do you get people to do that? Rejoice! And again, I say, rejoice! I knew I should have put rubber bands on these socks. Now I got you. You don't think that's the Lord? Ah, it is. Say amen, somebody. I know my Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord always. What a gracious God. He makes it a duty. I have a duty for you. Rejoice in the Lord always and you'll have full joy. Isn't that great? Shouldn't we obey, I said, such a command? It is intended to make us happy. Now, when your little junior comes in and he's all pouty and he's got an owie and you put an ouchless bandage on it and he's all whimpery and cry and the kids have dumped sand on his head and he's got sand in his eyes and he's got the sobby loops. What do you say? Oh, come on, cheer up. Come on. Come on, cheer up a little bit. Takes a little time to get him going. It takes a little time to get an audience going, too. Do you know that? My God, help me. But that is the meaning of this precept, that we should be cheerful. Now, some people, just by the very fact that I'm saying be cheerful, will not do it. You know why? Because they like to rebel. They're peacocks. They won't. 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 No, they won't. No, they won't. No, they won't. No, they won't. And why won't they? Because they're rebellious. Nonsense, I hear someone say. Tish tosh, polywash, I hear someone say. I won't, and 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 I won't. Yes, you will. 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 Don't. Yes, you will. Or you'll be miserable until you do. There is no joy outside of Jesus. Did you hear it? Well, you ain't perfect, Pastor. I know it, but I'm still going to rejoice in the Lord. How many hearing this? Woo! Get it on! I don't want to. I'll find joy someplace else. I'm going to hunt till I find it. Oh, yeah. I tell you, it's out there. I'm going to get it. I'll show you. Oh, I'm making people mad. Go, God, come on. Come on. Come on, devil, get mad. Come on. Get mad, hallelujah. But you're going to have the joy of the Lord only by rejoicing in the Lord. I can tell you times when I had nothing to be joyful in. Absolutely, positively nothing, praise God. It taught me to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. There is nothing, and I say it again, let me reiterate it several times during this message, there is nothing that will make you happy outside of Jesus Christ. Now maybe you think this message is for your mate. You listening on the radio, yeah, you. It's for you. And mate, stop smiling, it's for you too. How many hearing this message today? Woo! That is the meaning of this whole message. That is the meaning of this precept in Philippians. That we be happy, more than that, that we should be thankful. What have I got to be thankful for? Think about it. One time I sat down with an alcoholic. And she said, what have I got to be thankful for? I said, start writing down some things. She couldn't think of nothing. I said, are you not a beautiful woman? Well, I'm saying you are. Write that down. So, okay, she wrote that down. Don't you have a beautiful daughter and a beautiful son? And she wrote that down. Don't you have good health? Write that down. Don't you have a liver that isn't shot yet? Write that down. And she kept writing and writing and writing and writing and writing and writing and writing until she ran out of a whole page and she filled up the whole other page. I said, more than that, aren't you to be thankful, hallelujah? Doesn't it go beyond the precept, hallelujah? And more than that, even we should rejoice. That means have joy over again. You know how a cow chews its cud? And it goes down and they throw it up again and they chew on it again? Rejoice. Regurgitate. Bring it up again. Bring it up. We are to have a joy and we are to rejoy. Rejoy. Did you ever have something really tickle you in your life? And then you told it over and over and over again and you shared it with just as much delight, sometimes even more, depending on the person who was listening. Oh, my mother was great at that. She'd sit and I could hear this wheezing. She's laughing. And she had her head between her legs. And then all of a sudden she turned all red. She's real light complexion. She turned all red. Tears running down her eyes. And she goes,
No, right, Jan? I'm her son. Don't worry about it. And it was something that happened 25 or 30 or 40 years ago. Wasn't it? And I say, what are you laughing about? The time that... And you know what? It was contagious. And I knew it because I'd heard it about 1,000 times. And she was regurgitating her joy. Oh, God, how we need to get into regurgitating our joy. Throwing it up again. Chewing on it again. They call it chewing the fat. But on and on and on. Did you ever have something like that you got tickled over? I was looking at my dad, and he was in his casket. And we had the joy of the Lord. My dad was there, and my mother was there, and I said, Mom, do you remember the time we were outside on this porch, and Dad was trying to tune in this wrestling? And he'd sit down, and it wasn't quite right, and he'd get up. And he'd sit down, and he'd get up. And we counted them, it was about 35 times. And how hard we laughed, and we got laughing there besides his casket. And I thought, you know, I don't know how this joy works, but there's something happening here. And we got free. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So if you tear